right, everyone, welcome back to another week, a little bit later than normal. Sunday, we were both busy. Ben was dead. I was drinking, so that could have led to a very interesting podcast on Sunday night. Either way, we're back, episode 39, Fundamentally Sound Podcast. As always, your host, Ben Brust and Reeks from Barstool Sports. Ben, what's going on, man?
I guess the good news is I have no excuse now because I really don't care too much about the Orange Bowl.
Yeah, you should. You should, but you shouldn't. Like, it's still sweet.
Yeah,
to say
no. I mean, I will care as we get closer. Like, I will obviously get amped up, and actually, I'm working the Big Ten that day, so I won't get too excited, you know, regardless now. But
right.
I want them to beat Miami, but all I'm getting as our Sunday shows, I probably won't be as slow.
yeah. I mean, you were texting on Saturday, like, I wanted Wisconsin to win. I hate Ohio State football so much, and it just sucks that Wisconsin can't win a Big Ten championship.
Yeah, no, I mean, like, they've won two Big Ten championships. They're tied now with Ohio State and Michigan State for the most, but just recently they've had a bad run because they got 59-0 by Ohio State.
Well, that's
they
were up. They can't win to get into the playoffs.
Yeah. Yes, they can't make that next step, now finishing in the tops at the sixth spot the past 2 years. But that's neither here nor there. The Big Ten basketball is a whole different conversation. But before we get into that, we should probably start, for our listeners, with Queen City Exchange.
Yeah. It's coming up, man. Like, you're getting ready to drive out here. For those that are listening for the first time or haven't been following along or anything, we are doing a live show at Queen City Exchange here in downtown Cincinnati. The bar is awesome. It is a stock market bar, so prices fluctuate like a stock market depending on what beers people are drinking. They have like 40 or 50 different beers. I forget the exact amount, but it's somewhere in that range. And they are having us there. They have a bunch of TVs. Xavier is home that day against East Tennessee State. Cincinnati plays at UCLA. Kentucky hosts Virginia Tech. So the local schools all have either a home game or a big-time opponent. I haven't looked at the entire slate yet, but, you know, it's a Saturday in December, so there'll probably be a couple other notable games. They have a bunch of TVs. We are going to be on from 12 to about 2 leading into the games, and then we'll be hanging out all day with a Papa Shot, with drinking, with the TVs, with gambling, just talking basketball with whoever's sitting there that wants to listen to us even more. The show, I believe they are doing bucket specials, or they're doing some drink specials. So there is going to be something there. So there, you know, you don't have to purchase tickets or anything like that. You can just show up. It's free entry. Just make sure you buy drinks. And if you're not 21, I do believe you can still show up. You just obviously can't drink. So don't let that deter you.
And like, we'll obviously just be hanging out, like, yeah, talking hoops, even like off the air is what I'm saying. Like,
yeah, we're going to be there all day, essentially.
Yeah. No, I mean, I'm not driving down to not be there at that point.
And then who knows, maybe we'll make a group trip to the casino.
Oh, God, don't say that.
Because it's right down the road. It's walking distance.
Oh, God, don't say that either.
Come on, like, maybe like 60 people. We can all just roll up and take over the craps tables.
I'm all about craps. I mean, I'm staying actually right now at a hotel. My company for training has some hookups with Pottawatomie in Milwaukee, so I'm sure a lot of our listeners will be familiar. And I've done really well. I guess if you put me in a place Monday through Wednesday with a casino – I guess I have somewhat of a conscience and the ability to stay away. So I'm very proud of myself. But Queen City Exchange coming up, and the Big Ten stinks right now.
Yeah, I mean, it's – and we are talking about Big Ten basketball, not just Big Ten football. Big Ten basketball right now is a little bit of a disaster. I talked about it in a blog this week. We're recording this on Tuesday at like 9:30 Eastern. The blog went up yesterday, Monday, on Barstool, and it just talked about how this isn't a one-year thing. Like, the Big Ten was down last year. It's down even more this year, and it's a little shocking to see. I think people were a little higher on teams this year in the preseason.
You know, I was too, just because the amount of players that were coming back. I mean, there were some bigger names that left for some certain teams.
I mean, you had the guys from Wisconsin, you had Swanigan, but other than
you
that,
had
like
Peter Jock from Iowa.
Yeah, yeah, but you had a lot of other guys.
But exactly, I mean, we basically only named a few off the top of your head. It wasn't like, oh, there was a long list, and right, so you right. think that there's a good chance that the teams and the players progress, they get better over the offseason. I mean, Purdue took a foreign trip, Iowa took a foreign trip, Wisconsin took a foreign trip.
You had
and I say that
playing
because
the U19s overseas, like Kevin Herter, Carson Edwards.
Yeah, no, that's what I'm saying. Like, there was a ton of people who did some stuff that you would think would pay a little bit of a helpful, you know, progression of a player heading into a year and for a team, but it just hasn't shown at all. I mean, I was texting with Vecini a little bit, obviously Sam Vecini, friend of the show, and he had told me that outside the top three, and I mean, to clarify and reset for everybody, the top three are Minnesota, Michigan State, and Purdue right now. And outside of those three, the rest of the teams are 0-15 against top 50 teams.
So,
I mean, that's bad.
Yeah, it's really bad.
That's bad.
I'm going to pull up what I looked at. I had another number here for you. Let me pull it up real quick so I have the exact numbers. As of yesterday.
And while you pull it up, I mean, the moral of the story is if you're able to have multiple stats about your conference, about how it's not showing its will and might, and it's just not a good thing to be talking about. And when people are texting me, what's the over under going to be for teams in the NCAA tournament? That's not good either.
No. So the conference record as a whole against the other five major conferences, the Big East, the Big Ten, or I'm sorry, the Big East, the Big 12, the ACC, SEC, and Pac 12. The conference as a whole is 13-23.
Oh, against the Power Five?
Two of those wins came against DePaul, one came against Boston College, and one came against a team playing 5-on-3. I mean, so those are four of your 13 wins are that. And most of those wins are from those three teams that you mentioned.
So what do you pinpoint as the problem?
So me and you talked about this. You know, we were texting because when you co-host a show with somebody, you tend to text them like more than the person you're in an actual relationship with. And so, you know, me and you talked about this, and I think we both agree on this. It's a two-part thing that kind of go along together. The top end is there's just not that much NBA talent in this conference, right? Like, you know, like you have the Miles Bridges, you have Jaren Jackson, but then kind of what? Like this year, 2018 mock draft, Justin Jackson's the next highest pro, and I don't think he's one of the two best players on Maryland. So,
no, he's actually having not a like a, no, a disappointing he's year a, in terms of expectations you would have had.
He's having a very, very down year. He's somewhere in between where he was last year to this year, so it's a little unfair, but yeah, he's definitely having a down year.
Yeah, you just expected big things.
So, and going along with that, it goes with recruiting. Like, the Big Ten just isn't recruiting well outside of Michigan State. And you can say, yes, this is how, you know, like a team like Michigan, like, hey, yeah, we go and, you know, they want to play with three stars. Or Wisconsin wants to go get guys that fit a system. Well, guess what? It's not working. Like, or you're getting the wrong guys that aren't fitting the system, because the Big Ten hasn't been in the top four in KenPom conferences in 4 years. Which is
in the KenPom, like overall rankings, you're saying at all at any point?
Yeah. Well, in terms of like the end of the years. So as of right now, and then the end of the years, the last time they were top four were finished higher than fourth was 2013-14, your senior year.
Even heading into the year they beat Kentucky.
The year that Wisconsin beat Kentucky.
No, actually, the more I think about it now, like, they had a pretty easy run, and the only loss they had was to Rutgers when Frank was hurt and Trey got hurt in the middle of the game, which was still a terrible loss, and then to Maryland at home, who had to, like, pull out all the stops to get that win. So.
The final KenPom ranking that year as a conference, I believe, was fourth. So they've been, like, fourth or fifth, you know, since that 13-14 year.
And you got to look at recruiting. I really think you got to take a look at recruiting. Don't you say?
Oh, yeah. I mean, here's the numbers for you. It is, if you look at the ESPN, I use ESPN's top 100 rankings just because it's an easy tool to use. And you look at the classes of 2015 through 17, so freshman this year, only 8 recruits were ranked in the top 25. And 4 of them went to Michigan State. And the other 4 are Caleb Swanigan,
Biggie,
Thomas Bryant, James Blackman, and Diamond Stone. Now, that's not exactly a murderer's row. Like, Diamond Stone, yeah, he was kind of a one-and-done project. That's fine. Swanigan turned out to be an All-American. Blackman was a decent player but got hurt. Bryant was very inconsistent, right? Like, that's all fair to say.
Yeah, no, it's not like you're 8 lottery picks right there.
Right, right. So to me, it just ties to recruiting, you know, and the Midwest has great basketball. Like, Indianapolis is a great hub for basketball. Chicago is a phenomenal hub for basketball. Ohio doesn't have a lot of great hubs, but it's big enough that teams should be getting, you know.
Yeah, and Indiana claims that they're a basketball state.
Right, right. And, I mean, Indianapolis is unreal in terms of recruiting. So where – like look at Milwaukee. Milwaukee has guys that go Division I, right? So it ties directly to recruiting. Like, people can yammer all they want about recruiting rankings don't matter. You know, you just win with the guys that you have and develop them. Well, where's the development? Like, if there was true development – and I don't think it's – you know, I think Beeline is a great developer. I think Wisconsin usually does a good job with the guys they have. But
you got an anomaly right now that, you know, I think Coach Gard is looking at it as, I'm going to play the guys that I'm going to get better with.
Sure, I think I've said all year this is me and you argued about it on the Big Ten preview where I had the Maith and everything like that. And, you know, to me, this was just a reset year from the get-go. Just because there were so many question marks.
Hey, they got a win yesterday, so again.
They did. It's a road win, and that's all that matters.
A good road win against a talented team. I mean, Penn State just, you know, they are who we thought they always were, and, you know, I still think they have talent, but they got beat by the system. They played too slow. Tony Carr made really bad decisions. He was 5 for 22 from the field.
Yep.
It just was a classic Wisconsin win, and that's what they needed. They needed these young guys to feel what it's like to play that way and to get a win. I haven't looked too deep. I know they start with Indiana after the new year, but they have a chance here to get some confidence, and grow some more as a team before they head back into Big Ten play. All hope is not lost. How many teams do you think the Big Ten gets in?
So I think they end up getting in the 3 right now that you mentioned. All right. So we got Michigan State, Minnesota, Purdue. I think Maryland gets in. I think Michigan will get in.
I think Ohio State for sure. I mean, I tweeted you.
Yeah, I mean they might.
They have talent.
They do.
They have talent.
It's just, you know, man, the non-conference was just a disaster for these teams. Because yeah, it's like,
You know, like they're just because they're a power conference, still like they're still gonna eventually just get some in there.
Yeah,
so.
But we've seen like the SEC and Pac-12 get 3 in. So it's like, what's to stop the Big Ten this year from only getting 4 in?
That's a really good question. Right? I think the precedent has been set for the Big Ten. Just like it has never been different other than they're going to get at least 6.
Right, and that's just what people think with the Big Ten. But this year I think you finally – I mean, and everyone's talking about this. This isn't just me and you talk about it. Every person that watches the sport, that knows the sport, is talking about the Big Ten being down and arguably the worst conference out of the Power Six.
So 3 for sure.
3 for sure. I think Maryland will end up getting in. And then, you know, I'm going to guess one more team gets in. I think it's going to be 5.
Maybe I got 6. I got 6. I can't see it.
But it's going to be one of those two where, like, the seeds are, like, 1 – and then, like, 4, 5, 8, 9, 11, something like that.
And maybe a 12.
Right, like it's going to be something weird like that, which is, but again, like that's kind of what they were. Like think about what the champion of the last 2 years of the Big Ten, Purdue last year and Indiana the year before were 4 and 5 seeds. Right? So
I mean, the Badgers finished second in the conference and were an 8 seed last year.
Right. So I think like the conference, like the committee has taken note that, hey, the Big Ten isn't what it was, you know, back when you were playing or back when people are like, you know, kind of remembering it as.
And explain to, you know, the listeners who haven't maybe seen it, what the committee is going to be looking at.
Yeah. So that's the other thing where, you know, this non-conference stuff is big is so the committee today on Tuesday, Andy Katz had it on NCAA.com. They are now switching kind of the team sheets. The team sheets are what the committee looks at when they're going through the process and everything like that and making it up. And the way it used to be set up were it was just divided into four things. Wins and losses versus top 50, top then 51 to 100, 101 to 200, and 201 and higher. And those numbers are RPI numbers. What they did now is switch it into four quadrants. Quadrant 1 is home wins from 1 to 30, neutral wins from 1 to 50, away wins from 1 to 75. So that's a big difference to how that used to be.
Well, and it should help, again, put the pressure on to schedule, even though a lot of coaches don't want to, those non-conference games.
But even more, Quadrant 2, a neutral court win is 51 to 100 as opposed to a home win 31
to 75.
Yeah, no,
I mean, neutral court, like, I don't know, maybe this – gets Calipari to maybe do some Thanksgiving tournaments or something. I don't know. Not that they need it.
No, he'll never play in a tournament. Like that, he hates tournaments. But what he'll do is
to help get like a higher seed.
He'll play the Champions Classic. He'll play the CBS Classic, and then they always play a game now in like New York. Like they play Monmouth in New York this year. So that's going to end up being like a quadrant two type win, assuming they win, right?
Yeah, assuming they get it done.
Right. So, or quadrant three, which is, you know, neutral 101 to 200. So he's going to load up on those, you know, those type of wins. And what this does, though, is going to help teams that are mid-majors. Like, this is really just a Monmouth rule from 2 years ago. Or, like, the programs like Georgia that Katz kind of put out of that's perennial bubble team from a major conference. And now, hey, instead of playing – scheduling a home game against whoever, maybe they get a 2-year home and home deal with, let's say Clemson, right? Because, you know, you're guaranteed one road trip every other year. Hey, we can turn that into a win. And then on the next year, you know, the other team gets it. Or play on a neutral court, you know, instead of playing home and home, maybe they play in Atlanta or, you know, Nashville or something like that. But going to the Big Ten with this now, the Big Ten is going to have losses in this. So I don't know how the perception changes because they're in conference play right now. Yes, there are still some non-conference games. But they're, you know, conference play is starting here, has started for the Big Ten. Beating each other isn't going to necessarily help this conference.
Especially right now.
Right.
Especially right now. Like, you almost want to, like – I don't know what they have left in terms of non-conference, like big games that they can show out right now, but they need them. They need as much as they can get so they can beat each other up later and it means something. It doesn't mean as much right now. It almost deflates it.
So go ahead and keep going with your thought. I'm looking up some of the Big Ten non-conference schedule that's left because I know like Ohio State, they still get a neutral court game against North Carolina. That could be helpful.
Yeah, that could be helpful, but I don't see that team beating North Carolina.
No, but I mean, you're talking about games that are left.
Yeah, no, now that you've mentioned it, I started thinking in my head, all right, the matchup wise, I don't really see it.
Michigan gets a home game against UCLA and an away game against Texas. You need to go 1-1 there.
I have to. I mean, we say have to, but I feel like we've talked about this before and I always go, yeah, they have to do this, and it never happens.
Right.
And then we come back on here, and we're like, all right, well what's up next for the Big Ten? Oh, right. It's the Big Ten ACC Challenge. That didn't end up good. So, oh, what's up next for the Big Ten? Oh, well, they got some conference game. All right, what's up next? And we do this. And I hope that when we come back after we see some of these games, that are chances for big wins that we're not having the same conversation. So, that's for the podcast sake and for the Big Ten's sake.
Right.
All the above.
So here are some others. Like, there are some others. Wisconsin at Temple and home against Marquette. You have to split there. Right.
Like, but ideally, you're supposed to be winning both of those.
You're supposed to be, but these are the games that you need to at least split, because at least they're on the road. Like, you can understand a road loss to Temple. It's not like
correct.
It's not ideal, sure, but you can at least understand it.
Understand a little bit more.
Indiana, Louisville away, neutral court, Notre Dame. You gotta win one of those. Like, you hope they win one of those. Like, you don't have to, but the conference needs them to win one of those. Purdue has neutral court against Butler. Like, you need to win that. Like, that would be a not a
that'd
bad
be a solid
loss
win, especially because Ohio State blew that one against Butler. It'd be right. really bad if Butler came back on Ohio State and beat Purdue.
Right.
Two and of if, the top five teams in the Big Ten.
Right. If Purdue's this, if you're banking on Purdue being your top three team, like, they need to beat Butler on a neutral court. Right. Like, that's just kind of the way it is. Minnesota.
So then Indiana plays Notre Dame.
Right. Minnesota has an away game at Arkansas. You hope they can win that. That's a quality.
Indiana's showing some promise right now. I think Archie's got them playing a little bit better basketball. I mean, granted, Iowa has been one of the most disappointing teams in the Big Ten. But, you know, to control that game and win by 13,
yeah,
you know, speaks to what they're building on after the loss to Duke. Notre Dame just lost to Ball State tonight.
Right. But that's it. Those, like, every game I just listed, there's what, 8 of them? 9 of them, maybe? Those are their only non-conference games left to get quality wins.
And you need that. You need that to help put the over-under at 6.5 instead of 5.5.
Yeah. And it's even one of those, like, you win all 9 of them, and you still have a losing record against the other conferences.
Yeah, but again, with everything in society and what we do, it's all reactionary.
Sure,
it's all what's
sure,
done for
sure,
me lately.
Sure.
So doing it after it's been talked about will help in the short and I hope the long term.
Absolutely. But again, like, this is desperate time for the Big Ten. Like, you need to bank on these teams winning some away games, winning neutral court games, pulling an upset even.
I want to ask you this, and I'm totally switching gears. It's in my head. I'm watching Arizona and A&M right now. Even though Arizona's winning, they don't look good.
Yeah, like, but
what's wrong with Arizona?
So
there's something off.
First off, they don't have Raleigh Alkins, who is their best perimeter defender. Like, once Raleigh Alkins comes back, I think they look a lot different. Second, they can't defend on the wing. Like, they're just not a good wing defensive team. And that's very, very weird to see with a Sean Miller team. Third is still trying to figure out the best lineup. Like, to me, playing DeAndre Ayton at the 5 is the best lineup, and surrounding him with other guys and bringing Ristic and Pinder off the bench is the best thing going forward.
Yeah, I think Ristic is not helping this team right now.
No, well, it's because the fact that you put – like, right now they're fine because they're playing A&M with two bigs, and that's – Ayton can kind of play in the paint here. But when they play a team like SMU or, you know, those teams that can stretch them out with a stretch 4 or go small – that's where, like, Ayton just can't guard there because he's a 5, and you're asking him to guard on the wing. So
yeah, this may be a new segment as I just, like, kind of, like, watch the bottom line and scroll through some things. You know, Duke's got 55 points with 3 minutes left in the first half. Like, I'm starting to think there's a lot of parity again. I really am. With Notre Dame losing, you know, they showed promise winning the Maui.
Yeah,
anytime you get,
there's a clear top four. There's a clear.
You think Notre Dame's a clear top four?
No. There's a clear top four in the country right now.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Outside that top four, I don't see anyone sticking with it. What would you say? It's Duke, Michigan
Villanova,
State,
Michigan State, Kansas,
Villanova.
For me, it's Duke. For me, in order, it goes Duke, Nova, Michigan State, Kansas.
Has Kansas really been challenged yet?
I mean, they beat Kentucky and Syracuse on neutral courts, and they're good. Like, they're good, and they're going to get better because they get Sam Cunkliffe in the second semester. They might get D'Souza. You know, who knows what's going on with Billy Preston if we see him play. I mean, so they have wins over – and again, it's not like going to blow your mind type wins, but they have neutral court wins over Kentucky and Syracuse. They beat South Dakota State, Oakland, and Toledo, which are all top – or Toledo's just outside the top 150, but all top 150 wins in which they've won by like 35 points.
And they are, you know, in the Big 12, which they've had total domination over.
Yeah, and the Big 12 is good. Like, they're going to get, you know, they get to play everybody, so they're going to get to play at Texas, at TCU, at West Virginia, you know, at Oklahoma, at Baylor. I think
there's a couple home and homes there that are interesting.
I mean, yeah, they really are. So to me, I think they're just they're the clear fourth team right now. But after that, yeah, like, you know, who's the fifth best team? Like, I think it's A&M right now, but, you know, if they lose to Arizona here in Phoenix, does that change your mind? You know, is it?
Yeah, it does. I mean, it would just show the parity that we've just talked about.
Right, right. So, like, you know, you look at teams who can be like the fifth best team, like Wichita State is losing to
South Dakota State
as we talk right now. You know, West Virginia just beat Virginia, but West Virginia has losses to A&M, and Cincinnati just lost to Xavier, but Xavier lost to Arizona State. Miami's undefeated, but they only have one quality win right now. And, you know, okay, Kentucky, maybe they're there, but they've lost to Kansas. You're right. There is a lot of parity after that top four.
And I've been impressed with Villanova. I mean, Mikal Bridges has been a player that I was hoping would make the jump.
Can you do me a favor real quick?
Yep.
Can you tell me that I was right when I picked Villanova as my national champion, that I look kind of smart right now?
You did. No, I mean,
you were
high on them before the season, and I had no reason to think they would be top tier, as top as they are right now.
It was crazy.
I was high on Bridges. I've never been huge on Brunson. When I say huge, not as huge as you.
Yeah, I mean, I picked him to win national player of the year.
But he's taken the next step there. DiVincenzo's been solid. And then Omari Spielman, like, he's
tonight was Spielman's best game I've seen him play. It was a big stage. He was really good defensively. Finished with a double double. Did some things offensively that were nice. Hit an outside shot. Didn't really force the issue. Kind of figured out defensively. Like, if that's what Omari Spielman gives you, this team's scary. I mean, they're scary good regardless. You get that from Spielman, they're even scary. This is the most talented. Gottlieb and I were talking about it tonight. This is the most talented roster Nova has had since the days of Alan Ray, Mike Nardi, Kyle Lowry, and Randy Ford.
Fun team. Really right. Fun team. Right.
So
that was when Jay Wright used to stub every possession.
Yeah, this year's team is better than last year's team, and last year's team was the number one overall seed. Now, it's not necessarily fair to compare year over year because everything's different, but just think about that statement for a second. Last year's number one overall seed isn't as good as this year's team right now.
To this point, I'd like to see them through Big East play.
Sure, but there's more talent on this year's roster than there's been, you know, throughout the run that they've had lately.
Fair enough.
I think that's a general, like, that's not like a hot
take. I won't argue against it, but
yeah, multiple people like have said, like, agree with that statement.
And I just can't believe why do you think there's such a drop in like top tier teams and a little less, you know, a lot more parity, so to speak?
I think it's just a weird year. Like, you know, it wasn't a
I mean, like, I'm speaking more in general. Like, I feel like when I used to watch college basketball growing up, and like there was top teams and they were the top, you know, teams had a chance to go undefeated. Like, the Dukes would go 28-0 and lose late in the season. There's just not that anymore. I can't wrap my head around what, like, there used to be teams that would go undefeated much longer, and it's not like that anymore.
Well, you're getting a little bit, I mean, you get a lot, there's a lot more tournaments now. There's a lot more like showcase events. So you're running into,
you know, better teams early on.
Yeah, and just kind of like, you know, figuring it out, and like, you know, they're playing, you know, like, again, like the Battle for Atlantis wasn't really a thing back. It wasn't a thing back in the day. You know, Champions Classic wasn't a thing back in the day. So it's part of that. And, you know, like this year, for instance, like the freshman class is just not dominant this year like we've seen in years past. Like, this is not I don't think this is a great freshman class when you look at.
But then, like, that's crazy to me, thinking about how big basketball is in those AAU circuits. Like, you'd think it would be better. And there's just some things I can't wrap my head around right now.
It's just cyclical. Like, there's just going to be years where the talent's not there. Like, there's some great high-end talent in this year's class, but it's not, you know, there's not, and it might change when they become juniors and seniors, but for this year, it's just not the same. So I mean, it's a little bit of everything, but it's fun, man. Like there's I feel like I might just be caught up at the moment with like tonight's slate of games, but there have been so many kind of like marquee matchups, I feel like, this year.
No, there is, and there is tonight, and
tonight's like awesome.
I'd like to see Arizona get a quality win for once in their season. I don't know. I thought, you know, thinking Sean Miller would after that like bring them to earth. You know, they played better defense, you know, only 31 to Texas A&M at the half. But
yeah.
Now their offense does not have any flow or rhythm.
No, but you're also playing Texas A&M who's
got length and athleticism. Right.
Yeah,
they got length and athleticism that can affect a team. But I don't know, man. And then I guess we could go back to Cincinnati and,
yeah,
and
that's
Xavier.
Something I want to talk about with you especially. You know, I've made my points on it. It's been talked about here nonstop. It's been talked about on the national scale nonstop. I know it's not necessarily up to date since this happened Saturday, but, you know, you're a former player at the college level. I do not think it is uncommon for players and opposing coaches to talk shit to each other from time to time.
No, there's nothing wrong with it. There's nothing wrong with it. The problem is the reactions from the fans, the coaches, when it goes down and when it doesn't go their way.
Right.
Wouldn't you say that's what we find the biggest reactions is when from the fan base that it doesn't go their way.
Right. And to me, so I want to say my thoughts and then I want you to repeat a story that you've said before for people that haven't listened to it yet or forget it. But my thought is, I have no problem with either Cronin or Makura talking shit to each other.
No, I love it. I love both sides. Like, I love the passion that Makura has. And,
right. Like,
you know, if he's going to talk shit, I don't mind Mick, you know, talking shit back. But
right. Like, be a little bit more creative, although a good place.
Who started it first, though?
I mean, even.
Is what I want to know.
I'm sure it was Makura. But even then, I'm speculating that. I don't know for a fact. But even then, you know, I like to see him be a little bit more creative than tell him to fuck off. Although a good old fashioned suck my dick in a well placed time does make me chuckle because I'm very immature, and I also picture it like semi pro with Will Ferrell and the ref. But
he said SMIC. Yeah. You said SMIC.
Suck my cock, I'll murder your family. You said SMIC.
Oh God, I love that. That is such an underrated movie.
It really is. But to me, where it went wrong was Cronin can't
go to his press conference
after the handshake, and then in the press conference, like, I know Cincinnati fans are blaming Makura and Mac. Like, first off, what do you want Mac to do in the press conference?
Mac's any coach, press conference was legendary.
Any coach with the smallest brain in a press conference after a game like that is gonna defend his player, and then he will reprimand him or do whatever in practice. I'm sure Makura is running quite a bit. But in a press conference, what do you expect? Like, he's going to defend his player.
You really think Makura is running?
I wouldn't be surprised.
No, there's no way.
I wouldn't be surprised.
There's no way.
I wouldn't be surprised. But, Cronin can't sit there and I understand, like, you are caught up in the heat of the moment still, because press conferences do happen right after the games. And it's fine. Like, I don't care that he didn't apologize. I don't care that he even kind of went after the kid. But this is just where it's going to end up being the talking point. To me, where it went wrong was when he went after Makura in the after the handshake line. Like, just go in and then just, if the press conference went as is without the handshake line, it's not nearly as big as a deal to me. Right? Like, it's not as blown up as it is, I feel. But
I don't know. But here's what I'll say about it. I love it because you know what's going to happen next game? It's going to be even chippier. It's going to mean
well,
even more.
Makura this, we'll never see Makura versus Cronin again with Makura being a senior.
It doesn't matter.
Oh, I know.
Like, I'm just saying, there's like the bad blood grows, then you grow a new narrative. Something else is going to happen because this is what college basketball needs, and I don't want to see, you know, the shit talking go away because of one incident.
No.
I want it to stay there, especially with rivalries. That's what Marquette, Wisconsin is Saturday. They both aren't the best teams right now, but I can't wait just because there's something there. And I want there to be something that happens where I hate Marquette more. You know what I mean? Like, that's what's good for the sport, and that's why Duke North Carolina is such a great rivalry. I mean, we've talked about rivalries. I know you don't think that's number one. What's your number one rivalry again?
I mean, I think it's Kentucky Louisville.
That's right.
But it's 1A, 1B. I mean, I'm not going to yell at you if you think one's better than the other.
Duke UNC is 1A, 100%.
Sure, if that's what you think, but
you're
wrong, and I'm not going to argue.
But, okay, well, now we're doing a Twitter poll because that has nothing to do with Wisconsin. That you hate Twitter polls with Wisconsin involved because it's always Wisconsin.
I can guarantee Duke Carolina is going to win that. But
and it's going to be overwhelming percentage because it is, and you'll see.
All right, I want you to repeat a story that you've told before about this scenario where a opposing coach and a player talking shit, and that was your experience with a now great college basketball analyst. I'll call him a great college basketball analyst.
He was awesome.
Former Indiana basketball player.
Are you talking about the Georgia Tech game?
The Crean?
Yeah, Crean. He did the Georgia Tech game.
I think he's one of my favorite analysts in the game right now. He's unreal.
He's been great. No, I mean, listen, like, Tom Crean kind of recruited me a little bit. I met him. But like, you know, you grow into a rivalry of what you know, and that was playing Indiana and beating Indiana. And I love that. And he did talk shit on the floor. Like, there's no doubt about that. And like, I was just like, what's wrong with this dude? And, you know, he ran through the handshake line. It never stopped with him, but it grew a rivalry. Like, even though it wasn't really a rivalry because we always won, but you get what I'm getting at. Like, it grew in wanting to beat them all the time and
Didn't
wanting
he have
to beat
a line
Tom Crean.
To you, like, in game, he said, like, there was a great line he had to you, if I remember correctly.
Take that white boy or something,
that's
like something
right.
like that.
That's right. That's insane. Like, that's not insane, but like, that's what you. And it's not limited to college basketball. Like, this happens from the high school level through the NBA. Like, I have gotten into it with when I played high school basketball. I had a shit-talking conversation with a coach in the middle of the game where he called me a fucking asshole dickhead. And guess what?
Well, you are. So.
Right, but guess what? It was fun. Like, he ended up coaching me in an all-star game, and we, like, laughed about it because it's just, like, heat of the moment. Like, I think people forget sports are super competitive, especially at that high of a level.
But you have to be able to, you know, let it go to that level.
Right, that's why I have zero problem with Makura or Cronin talking shit to each other.
But that's different. They're not gonna let that go. That's gonna live. And Makura would like, if Cronin was coaching like a senior All Star game, he wouldn't coach Makura.
No. But I mean, you just never know. Like, it just by happenstance he was coaching me in an All Star game. But it's one of those like Cincinnati fans are freaking out. Like, Makura, you know, Mac lie. Like, Mac needs to lost control of his team, needs to discipline his team, whatever it is. Like, no, that's just standard. It happens in Indiana, Wisconsin, which are, you know, Wisconsin's arguably one of the most boring programs in the country, which is not disrespect. It's just people don't think of, like, electricity in Wisconsin. But it's, you know, and Xavier fans are going, you know, Mick can't be doing that as a head coach. And guess what? It happens.
Their emotions, they care. Like, right. I love it. I got no problem with it. I want to see more of it. It's good for the game. It's good for the, like, getting people engaged. It's good for the storylines, the headlines. I love all of it. This is where no, all PR is good PR.
Yeah, I mean,
for the most part.
And Cincinnati Xavier is a great rivalry. So, you know, people are talking about it. Who knows? So, yeah, it's one of those, like, yeah, I mean, I'd like to see a little bit. Yeah, I'd like to see the narrative be not that it's all just fighting and everything like that, but it's a competitive game that happens to be shit-talking.
So I want to go back to the Big Ten. Predict how many teams and who gets in.
All right, I think there's going to be four locks. Michigan State, Minnesota, Purdue, Maryland. I'm going to go as four locks.
Say that again.
The four, I think. Michigan
oh, the lock. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I got locks.
Locks, I think, are going to be Michigan State, yep. Maryland, Purdue, Minnesota. I think more likely than not in will be Michigan. And then I think on the bubble will be Ohio State, Penn State, Wisconsin. Who am I forgetting? Anybody?
I don't think so.
I'm just looking here. Oh, and Northwestern, I think, might end up on the bubble. And then I think, one or two of those bubble teams get in. Like I said, they're going to get six, maybe seven in. But, like, the seeds are going to be, like I said, 1, 4, 5, 8, 11, 12.
All right, so did you give me a definitive? You gave me bubbles.
I gave you how I think it's going to shake out. Like, I they're going to end up, whoever ends up beating each other will kind of, force its way out. But I think that's, like, the tiers I'll put it at going into the NCAA tournament.
I'm going to go tier one, obviously, the three. Tier two, I'm going to put Maryland and Ohio State. And then maybe even Northwestern. And then the rest of the tier would be Michigan, Penn State, Wisconsin. That would be tier three, rather.
The one thing that scares me about Ohio State is they just have zero quality non-conference wins.
I hear you, but they already started. They're off to a decent start, beating two solid teams
in that
bubble. So, like, if they take care of business on the lower tier, they're off to a good start to finish, in the mid-pack of the Big Ten to make it in the tournament.
Right. I just wish that, if they beat Butler, Clemson, you're talking them completely differently. But the fact that, their best non-conference wins are neutral court against a Stanford team missing three players or home against Northeastern, that's not great.
Yeah, it's not great. But I was just saying how I think they're going to finish in the Big Ten, so we'll propel them in.
Yeah, no,
and I like what I've seen from them for the most part, from a talent and skill position.
Right, Holtman's a great coach, and they have talent on the floor. There's no reason for them not to finish top six or seven in the Big Ten. It's just a matter of can they keep putting it together. They went down by 20 to Michigan. They have no right winning that game. Granted, they did, just like they kind of had no right losing the Butler game. So can they put together a full game consistently throughout conference play?
We'll find out.
Exactly.
Yeah, and how about that? I mean, what you said there just reminded me, how crazy is it that a Big Ten team can't put together a full game? They could be up 15, and before you know it, it's tied.
Yeah, and, nobody can, right? We've seen Wisconsin.
Even Michigan State, they only beat Rutgers by 10. That's because Pikel did a great job. I didn't even watch the game, but I can guarantee he did a great job controlling the pace, making it ugly, and it was a 64-54 win. Yeah, so smart.
And the environment
is pretty
good. That's
how Rutgers is going to steal some wins at home.
Pikel's going to – Rutgers is going to win a couple games. And, right now, Nebraska is beating Minnesota at halftime.
I believe it.
That would be a bad loss for the Big Ten. You want Minnesota to blow out these teams.
Yeah, you want them to show that they're, a top-level team. Oh, goodness. And this is what hurts. This is what hurts with the Big Ten playing its game so early. Now you can expose yourself in front of the national stage.
Right, not only did you lose non-conference, now you lose to Minnesota, or you lose to Nebraska, who's one of the two worst teams in the conference. That would just not be, and you can't even argue. It's not like Nebraska has beat a bunch of teams in non-conference. You can't sit there and be well, look at the depth. It's no, everyone just kind of stinks.
T's and P's for the Big Ten right now.
Yeah. What has been your, I guess, have you been surprised? Take away the Big Ten. Have you been surprised with anything yet in college basketball?
A lot of the things we've talked about, I would say, the parity is still there. We've talked about literally every team so far, that we talked about in the preseason, and no one is really separating themselves other than the top four.
All right, I got a question for you.
And I'd be curious to see of the top four, you would think those four are good shots to make the Final Four just because of the depth of their teams and what they've done so far. I mean, Duke, I don't see how Duke doesn't make a Final Four. I don't see how they can't. Michigan State, they're primed with their depth and their skill levels to make a Final Four. Villanova, they've done it so much recently, and they have just the same amount of talent, if not more. I don't see how they can't do it. And I always blank on your fourth team, Kansas. I haven't seen that better than Kansas, anybody. So I won't go there.
Here's a question for you. I got asked this on my mailbag last week. You're starting a team to win the NCAA tournament. You know, you're starting five. It has to be players currently in college basketball for this year. What's your five?
Well, Marvin Bagley, hands down.
Right. Like, to me, there are three automatic picks, I think.
Marvin Bagley. I mean, I got to think about this and spread myself wide throughout the country. Marvin Bagley, I'm going Blewett.
I had Blewett, yeah.
I may, like, man, like, as weird as this sounds, like, I almost think about going, like, Jaren Jackson, but he's just not experienced enough, like, gets himself in foul trouble, make too many mistakes. Yep. But someone like that. I need some guards, like a point guard. Who's my point guard? Maybe like Trey Holder.
See, I think you're missing an obvious answer there.
Maybe I am. Who is it? Just say me who you
just. Jalen Brunson.
Oh, Brunson. Yeah, he's a senior led point guard.
He's a
junior. Has been there before.
He's only a junior.
He's only a junior still? Yeah. That's crazy.
Yeah.
So I remember he played at Stevenson. I remember going back and watching him. That's crazy.
Yeah, to me, he's Brunson, the second pick. Like, Blewett, Bagley's your number one, and then Brunson's
Bagley.
Number two.
Man, not Makura, even though, like, I need a glue guy. That's how I was thinking, like, Jackson, you know, Makura, someone who's a glue guy. You still need that glue guy as part of your team. Luke May. I'm putting Luke May on my team. I don't care. No, this is me to go on my Luke May campaign. Vecini's got the hashtag. I love it. I want to see him do it against some better talent.
Yeah, like, he's dominating teams. He should.
Yeah, but, like, it's still hard to do.
No, for sure. Like, he's been arguably, like, the biggest individual surprise this year. But, like, the Michigan State game was kind of eye-opening to me. Like, okay, like,
yeah,
he's somewhere
I mean,
in between that and, you know, what we saw against Davidson.
Yeah, we talked about that.
Yeah. So here are my five. I went Brunson at my point. My wings are Grayson Allen and Trayvon Blewett. My four.
I thought about Grayson. I just didn't pull the trigger.
My four is Miles Bridges, and my five is Marvin Bagley. I have shooting. Like, everyone's a threat to at least attempt the three-point shot and make it. I have rebounding with Bagley, Bridges. Brunson's a good rebounder as a guard. Blewett
can just
rebound.
For some reason, Bridges, I'm just not as high on him as I was going into the season.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of people are like that, and it's just because he hasn't put up, like, mind-blowing stats. Like,
it's not even the mind-blowing stats. Just his style and how he plays.
Well, he's been playing out of position. Like, he's better at the four, and they're playing him at the three. So it's, you know, it's a little tough. That's why
he's got to play more of a wing right now.
At my team, he's playing the four. I have two ball handlers with Allen and Brunson. Allen is a capable passer. I have defenders and Brunson and Bagley at rim protection, and Bridges can protect the rim, and Blewett can you know, guard multiple spots. So that's my five. I'll be curious to see what other people put as their five, but those are the five I'm going with for your make-believe starting five on a make-believe team to win the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, we need to get better at and this is our bad, putting together polls and interactive stuff to, and then we got a couple from this, so we'll have to make sure we get that out there. But I'm curious, first off, on best rivalry. Because I just want – that's more of a personal agenda. I want to just show you that you're crazy if you don't think Duke North Carolina.
I've experienced both. And to me, the hatred is more pure in Kentucky-Louisville because it's one time a year. It's, you know, owning the state where there's just nothing else besides basketball, bourbon, and horses. So that's where, you know, again, I just think the hate is more pure, and I enjoy a good old fashioned hate game, which is why I love Xavier Cincinnati.
Like, that is a hate game. I want to go to that game one year. I've never gone to the game. I played with Kenny Freeze and you know, at the Bucks Summer League, and him telling me that story of getting punched by Yancey Gates is amazing.
That was my first year in Cincinnati.
Were you there?
No, I've never gone to the game.
Oh, you have to.
I mean, it's one of those, like, I enjoy going out to the bar and watch the game. That's what I did this week. for this year. But it's, I mean, I'd love to go to a game at some point. It's just, you know, I almost feel wrong for going to the game because it takes away from a Xavier Cincinnati fan.
No, that's a terrible reason.
I know, but it's one of those, like, again, like, it's once a year. That's the only chance they get. I feel bad taking a seat as, like, just an innocent bystander.
All right, well, it sounds good. I am going to get distracted now that this Arizona second half has started. I'm going to be zoned in. I want to watch them a little more in depth and see what's going on with them. Texas A&M, obviously a fun team to watch as well. Anything else you got?
I don't think so. We'll be back over the weekend. I'm sure we'll probably get back to our Sunday repertoire now that football's kind of calmed down and our schedules have calmed down. Follow the show, Fundamentally SD, Twitter, Instagram, all that stuff. Let us know if you're coming to Queen City Exchange. Again, it's in downtown Cincinnati, so if you're in the greater Cincinnati area, it's a nice, easy drive. Subscribe, rate, review on iTunes, Stitcher, Cloud, SoundCloud, all that good stuff. Other than that, like I said, we'll be back next week.